Welcome to Living Orthodoxy, an invitation to a deeper life in Christ, a podcast of St. Philip Orthodox Church in Souderton, Pennsylvania, dedicated to connecting the liturgical and spiritual life of the Orthodox parish with the life of the Orthodox home, presenting the weekly homilies of our parish pastors, Father Noah Buscelli and Father James Thayer, as well as discussions of the liturgical year and Orthodox life and practice by Justin Bowl and Jeff Hyatt. Now here is Father Noah Buscelli.
I have a very short homily this morning, and I hope that you pay close attention. But before I get to that, somebody told me that Billy Graham passed away this week, and we are very indebted to him. The only thing I know about him really is that he was who he said he was. He walked his talk. And the other thing I know is that Bishop Thomas said, "I wish all of my priests preached like Billy Graham." But if I'd tried to preach like that, it wouldn't be me. But maybe pray for me to be a strong preacher. The reason for the short homily is that we're reading the anaphora of St. Basil the Great, rather than the anaphora of St. John Chrysostom, and I will read it. Hopefully everybody can hear it. It has the most sublime presentation of salvation history. Study it. You know, listen to it today, but take a book home, open up one of your prayer books, and study it. It's worth the effort. But also we have the Sunday of Orthodoxy procession. And then we have an important announcement today. Senia Sheehan, are you here, Senia? Okay. She's going to give us a little plug about our upcoming Lenten retreat and talk about her husband's passing and how family and friends and parishioners prepared his body for burial. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The iconoclast Emperor Theophilus was on the throne, reigning with vigor. And perhaps he should have stayed out of religion a bit and concerned himself more with politics, but he didn't. And even though the church in the Seventh Ecumenical Council in 787 had said that icons are okay to venerate, since Jesus became a man, you could depict him. He became a real person. And the honor that we give to the icon passes to the prototype. When we kiss an icon of Christ, the honor is going to Christ. It's not going to the wood, it's not going to the paint. It's passing to the prototype. But he didn't care. The emperor can do what he wants. But his wife was a faithful Orthodox. And she secretly had icons in her secret chambers. And she would go into her chamber to pray, and she would take out her icons. And one day, one of the fools of the court, was walking around. I guess he went wherever he wanted. And he peeked into her chamber as she was praying. And she was afraid that she would be found out as an iconodule, a lover of icons. And he said, "What is that, Highness?" She said, "Oh, it's just my mirror. I'm just doing my makeup." And she hid it. And he went off laughing, and she wasn't sure what he saw. But that wicked emperor died. And his son, forget his name, Michael III, I believe, his son was too young to reign. And so Theodora, the empress, was in charge of the kingdom. She was the empress regent as her son came of age. And she called a council of all the bishops and said, "We are Orthodox Christians, and Orthodox Christians venerate icons, and we're restoring them to public veneration." And that happened like the Monday of the first day of Lent. The emperor died. They had the council Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, sometime in there. And on Sunday, they made a great procession to bring the icons back to the churches. And that's what we are celebrating today in the Sunday of Orthodoxy, the triumph of Orthodoxy. It seems like a simple thing, but there was at least 100 years of argument and martyrdom and disagreement and confusion. But we know how the story ended, and we're grateful. We're grateful that our churches are beautiful. They don't look like barns. They don't, you know, they're not plain. They remind us that God is an artist, that the church is founded on the holy men and women of God who have come before us, the living stones built on the foundation, on the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. So that's the triumph of Orthodoxy that we are celebrating. But I would like you to consider, in the words of Father Boniface, what is the struggle for Orthodoxy today? Father Boniface said, we have to struggle to maintain Orthodoxy, each one of us. The struggle for Orthodoxy is today the struggle for right belief and right worship of God is on your shoulders. And so my question is, what does that struggle look like in your life? Are you in the battle? Are you on the sidelines? We started the race to Pascha, and we finished one lap last week at Forgiveness Vespers. The marshal of the race shot his gun, and we started running. Were you running? Are you still sitting in the blocks, enjoying the beautiful smells? So the struggle for Orthodoxy is today, and I think that the struggle has to be understood in two ways. One is right faith. One is right life. Right faith as in understanding, worshiping in the right way, orthodox, and right life as in practicing in the right way, orthopraxia, orthopraxis. We have to have both of those. Our Sunday morning worship, our Wednesday night in Lent, our daily life needs to reflect the kingdom of heaven. We have to have hunger and thirst for righteousness, both in terms of the way we approach God, but also in the way that we approach each other. Are we working hard to overcome our weaknesses? Do we really show mercy to those who need mercy? Do we really forgive those who have offended us? Are we putting our money where our mouth is? Do we have a notion of struggle, that we have to struggle in terms of relationships, in terms of dealing with what God has dealt us, that there is a right and a wrong, and hopefully we are in the right, but not condemning those who are in the wrong, but we are clear about what is right and what is wrong. So I don't know what the struggle for right worship and right faith looks like in your life, but I hope that you are engaged in it. We come to church not because it's beautiful, not because the icons are beautiful, not because the choir sings with one voice with the angels, not because this and that. We come because we need to be fed, because we're working hard. We come because we need to be healed, because we're battered in this life. You know, we go to work and we have terrible thoughts and feelings. We open our phones and we have terrible images that come to us. And these wound us. They exhaust us. And we come to church to be nourished. We come to church to be healed. So the struggle for Orthodoxy, brothers and sisters, are you in the fight? Are you on the sidelines? Are you sleeping instead? No, it's the time. Lent is the time for the champions to come out. Lent is the time for us to engage in the war that has already been won, but the battle in our heart has not been decided yet. O Lord Jesus Christ, our God, who came to open heaven to us, help us, save us, have mercy on us, and strengthen us in our struggle to glorify you in worship and in all the days of our life. Amen.